Thank you, Peter. Let's start right away and turn to Leviticus 23. We'll read verses 23 through 25. This, of course, is one of God's annual holy days that we're observing today. I remember when I first started, I had only the slightest glimmer of what the holy days were about. I found out how Christ had died before a holy day, and I found out a lot more through the years. Turning to Leviticus 23, starting in verse 23. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation." And that's what we're doing this morning. "You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." It's very short what this says about the Feast of Trumpets, but it has big meaning. We know this world has been looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ for a long time. And not as a baby in a manger, but as the King of Kings, that stone cut from the mountain in Daniel 2 that breaks apart all the governments of this world and sets up the kingdom of God. It talks about in many places in the Old Testament. I'd like to just highlight a couple of them. Let's go to Isaiah 2 and read 12 through 18. For the Feast of Tabernacles, most of the time we go to this chapter. But later on in that same chapter, it talks about Jesus' return. Verse 12. Isaiah 2, "For the day of the Lord of hosts shall come upon everything proud and lofty." And I think we're seeing a lot of proud and lofty in this generation right now. "Upon everything lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon all the oaks of Bashan, upon all the high mountains, and upon all the high hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower and upon every fortified wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish and upon all the beautiful sloops." We'll see some of the things that happen later. "And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of man shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day." God's power will be exhibited and exalted, our Creator. "But idols he shall utterly abolish." And we look forward to that day when all the pagan symbols that we see nowadays are everywhere. Let's turn over to Zephaniah 1 also. We'll read verses 14 to 18. "The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men." Why? "Because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make a speedy riddance, it won't take Christ long, of all those who dwell in the land." So this morning, Let's try to understand where we are in prophecy and where, how soon Christ will be returning. I don't ask this question that we can take it easy or see things differently or lightly, but that we build, our faith is built stronger and we become more dedicated to keeping God's way of life. So I'd like to look at three things quickly. First, the two witnesses have to come on the scene. The second, the mark of the beast has to be done. And third, the seven vials or bowls have to be poured out. So let's start with point one, the two witnesses. Please turn over to Revelation 11. Revelation 11, and we'll read verse 3. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. No two witnesses yet that I've seen, and they're going to be speaking for 3.5 years. And they, and when their job is done, when they've run their course, they will be killed, and the people will rejoice at their death. Does that sound familiar? Have we seen things like that lately? But after 3.5 days, they're resurrected. This event has not happened yet. So let's move on to another thing. Point two, the mark of the beast. Turn over to Revelation 13. Revelation 13, and we're going to read verses 14 to 17. And this is kind of breaking into the thought of the false prophet, the second beast, the religious leader, who works with the first beast, the government leader. And in 14 it says, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the first beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lives. So some kind of an honoring thing to this beast that is revived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, and that that image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes them all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. And what happens if you don't do that? And no one may buy or sell except they have that mark of the beast or the name of the beast or the number of the beast. So this is still ahead of us. We're still waiting for this to take place. And we will have to, at that time, really put our trust in our Father. He's our defender and our rock. We'll see in the next point something that happens to those who take that mark of the beast and who will suffer severely when God has his angels pour out the bowls. So let's look at point three, the seven bowls of God's wrath. And by the way, the title of my sermonette is The Seven Bowls. So let's turn our attention to this. Now, turn over to Revelation 16. We'll start in verse 1. And this is going to be just an absolute incredible time right before Christ's return. We'll have gone through the seals, we'll have gone through the trumpets, and now the final seven bowls. The headline says, the first bowl, loathsome sores. In verse 2, so we first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and a foul and loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Two things that we don't want to be doing is taking that mark of the beast or worshiping the image. whatever this image is going to be. Second bowl, the sea turns to blood. Verse 3, then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became blood as if a dead man, and every living creature in the sea died. No more life in the sea. All the animals die. Can you imagine what that's going to be like? How many people make a living off the sea? How many people eat daily from the sea? And all the animals, all the fish, all the wildlife dead. Verse 4, then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, so we see there's an angel of the waters protecting them, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things, for they have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, and you have given them blood, you meaning God, have given them blood to drink, for it is their just due. This world be reeling from the first ones, and now it has to drink blood, the blood that it deserves for killing God's servants. In verse 7, and I heard another from the altar saying, even so, Lord God, almighty, true, righteous are your judgments. There's still more. The fourth bowl, men are scorched. Verse 8, then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and power was given to him to scorch men with fire. This world has made Sunday their day of worship, not the Sabbath. They have also worshiped the sun as a god. And now it's being turned against them. And verse 9, and the men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has the power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory. They won't turn from their sins. Pride has taken over their lives, and they don't want anything to do with what God says. The fifth bowl, darkness and pain. Verse 10, then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. Again, verse 11, they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent. They just will not give up the sinful practices that they're doing. And we see that a lot in a lot of people today, don't we? The sixth bowl, the Euphrates, dries up. Verse 12, then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. That 200 million man army of all of those from the eastern side of the continent of Asia. Verse 13, and I saw three unclean spirits coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. So out of Satan, the beast, and the false prophet. Three demons. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the great battle of that, the great day of Almighty God. And here there's a warning for us also. Here's verse 15. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and feel they see his shame. We need to, even during these awful times, keep going God's way, to believe what he tells us, to believe that these things are actually going to come to pass. We need to be living righteous lives, and our world needs to be centered on God our Father. Verse 16, and they gathered them together to the place in the Hebrew called Armageddon. Finally, the last bowl, the seventh bowl, the headline is the earth utterly shaken. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were noises and thundering and lightning, and there was a great earthquake, such a mighty and great earthquake as has not occurred since men were on the earth. We've been in one earthquake. It was a very mild one, but people really will be terrorized by this earthquake. It's so great, and it seems like it's going to be through the whole world. And then it says in 19, now the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. So it's occurring in multiple places. Sorry. Now the great city was divided into three places, and the cities of the nations fell. And great Babylon was remembered before God to give her the cup of wine. Then of the fierceness of his wrath. And verse 20, then every island fled away and the mountains were not found. What happens when we have earthquakes? Isn't there tsunamis? Will the islands be covered with huge tsunamis? Verse 21, and great hail fell from heaven. From heaven fell upon men, each hailstone about the weight of a talent. Men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, since the plague was exceedingly great. Satan really has the people deceived. What they should be seeing is God's return and repenting. They curse God and blaspheme his name. So in conclusion, we know from this festival, Feast of Trumpets, that Jesus Christ is returning and will establish his kingdom, the kingdom of God, and remove all the governments of this world. While that day is drawing closer quickly, there are a few things that we need to watch for. The two witnesses, the mark of the beast, the seven bowls or vials. Knowing these things can help us to continue to be faithful and obedient to God, resisting this world and steadfastly watching for our soon coming King, Jesus Christ. I'd like to give you one more scripture as I finish here. Turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verses 17 and 18. I really enjoy reading the Proverbs. Verse 17, Proverbs 23. Do not let your heart envy sinners. We don't need to worry about what the people of this world seem to be getting. But be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. Our lives need to be focused on the fear of God. In verse 18, for surely there is a hereafter. We will be resurrected. And your hope, Jesus Christ is our hope, will not be cut off.